I've always loved solving riddles, and so sometimes when I'm driving with Lacey and I start to fall asleep at the wheel, she'll look up riddles and she'll read them to me. And just the act of engaging my mind and trying to solve the riddle is usually enough to keep us awake until we can arrive home safely most of the time. So I would like to just start the service by giving you a riddle. It's not a trick riddle. It's not a joke riddle. It's a real riddle. Okay, just I think I should state that, because as one who loves riddles, I know that a joke riddle is not a real riddle. Okay, you know, like when you say like, what's like a cow's favorite thing to do? Listen to music or something. It's like that's not a real riddle. Okay. Anyway, sorry. I'm gonna stop. So here's a riddle. It costs nothing, but creates much. It enriches those who receive it without impoverishing those who give it. It happens in a flash, and the memory of it sometimes lasts forever. None are so rich that they can get along without it, and none so poor that they can give it, that they can't give it. What is it? Now, I'm going to give you the answer because, well, two reasons. One, you're not going to hear another word I say if you're thinking about this riddle. And two, I just don't have the time to sit here and wait for you to come up with the answer. So the answer is a smile. It's a smile, right? Now, the thing about a smile is that in and of itself, technically, it's not much of a thing. You know, it's just certain muscles in your mouth that are contracting to make an expression. But in a wider sense, in a deeper way, it's actually one of the most powerful things you'll ever experience, right? A smile has a power to transform a room, to leave a lasting impression on someone that could last forever. A smile is so significant. And I think it's mostly significant because of what it represents. And what it represents is that joy is present. Joy is present. And no one gets joy, I think, more than my daughter, April. And I think we have some pictures. Yesterday I was... is this the time for it? Right? Yes. Okay. This is the time for it. So, my daughter's name is actually April Joy. Joy is her middle name. And if you ask her what her name is, she'll say it's April Joy. So she's literally named Joy. And if you know her, she just exudes joy all the time around her. So I just took some. These are some of the pictures I took yesterday with her when I was at the mall. And it's just she's like so happy, and this joy just kind of comes out of her, the blue around her mouth. I can explain that. Dads don't bring wipes with them, and that's the gubble bum ice cream, as she calls it, bubble gum around her face, and so she's on a bit of a sugar high at this time. So, but she's super happy about Daddy's new coffee maker that he's going to get for Christmas from himself. It's complicated. So the Sears is 50% off. Okay. This Christmas season, though, it is this. It's a joyful time, right? And it's a joyful time for a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. For some people, it's family. I know sometimes the media tells us it's about gifts, or it's about time off, or the Yuletide spirit, whatever that is. It's a lot of different things. But for Christians, for those who follow Jesus, it's particularly joyful. Particularly joyful. And there's three reasons why we have the right to be extremely joyful this Christmas. First, we can be joyful simply because Jesus was born to us, right? Jesus has come. As we say, a child is born unto us. That's why we're so joyful in Christmas, because it represents that Jesus, a Savior, our Savior, was born to us. It says in Zechariah chapter 9 in the Bible, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey." My friends, this is wonderful news. It's great news that a king, a victorious king, has been born to us. The coming of Jesus, it's a reason to be joyful this Christmas season. I think it's summarized very well in the story, the Christmas story. And I just want to read that for you from the book of Luke. And this is just shows what a joyful occasion it is. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." So isn't that wonderful? It says right here that the angel said, "I bring good news to you. I bring you good news." Am I still on again? Okay, sorry, I said good news. And this good news will cause great joy for all the people. This was the good news, my friends, that a Savior was born to them. And this is the news that brings joy, I think, to all people who witness Jesus as their Lord. It's a joy that's for everyone of all times who's ever lived, who was, who live now, and who are going to live, because He's the Savior of everyone. It's our Lord Jesus, and He was born. Therefore, I think it should be just as much joy for us today as it was to those who first witnessed the birth of Jesus those 2,000 years ago. In fact, I think it should be more joyful for us because we know something that they didn't know. We know something they didn't know, and that is the only way that God could save us is if He Himself would come down and live as one of us amongst us so that He could die on our behalf. For only one that was fully God and fully human could ever hope to pay for our sins on our behalf to a holy God. And that's what Jesus has done for us. And when you understand this wonderful image of Jesus and what He represents, then you will have joy this season. That's why we call Him Emmanuel, because the word Emmanuel means God with us. And you realize that God came down and He walked amongst us as one of us. And He understands us now in our struggles and our joys, because He was there and He lived that. And so He gets it. Now, the second reason that Christmas is particularly joyful for those who believe in Jesus is not only has He come, but He's coming again. We all know this, right? We know He's coming again. As it says in a proverb in the Bible, "The prospect of the righteous is joy, but the hopes of the wicked come to nothing." My friends, our prospect is joy because we know that He's going to come again. And we know what that represents to us, that one day we're going to be with Him again in paradise, and we can walk with Him. And we're going to experience all kinds of blessings, blessings beyond anything that we've ever experienced in this world. Things that the best things in this world are only a shadow of. That's what we're going to experience with Him someday. But we're only going to have this joy if we have the prospect of a hope in Jesus. Because if we don't, then listen, the end of the world or the end of your life, that's not a joyful thing. That only makes you anxious. It only robs you of joy. It doesn't give you joy. But if you have hope of a better life with Jesus, then my friends, it does give you joy. It gives you joy abounding, and it just overflows from you. I can remember one time when I was discussing this whole thing about Jesus coming again with a friend of mine, and we were young adults at this time, and we were both likening it to an experience that we were both very familiar with. And that is that sometimes, and you probably know what I'm talking about, as teenagers, your parents would go away sometimes for a trip, and they would leave you in charge of the house. And so this was, I guess you could say, a great opportunity, right? And you never knew when they were going to come back. Right, because this was before the days of cell phones, so there was no on my way text or anything like that. And so the only way you knew when they were home was when they pulled up into the driveway. Not enough time to get your ducks in a row, so to speak, right? So if you had been lazy and not taking care of the house, or worse, if you had had a party, let's say, not saying I did this, but let's say you were the universal you, were to have a party, and you didn't clean up afterwards, or your friends were still over, then you'd be really nervous about your parents coming home. You would be scared. You would be looking forward to this. You would have anxiety associated with this. You'd be stressed out. You would not have joy. But if you were prepared, then you would be hopeful for your parents coming home. You would be happy because you know that you left the house in even better condition than what it is that they left it. And so you'd be happy and you'd want them to come home. And this is the difference, my friends. If you feel somewhat anxious about his return or about whatever's coming for you after, then maybe that means that you're not prepared in your hearts. You haven't received the love of Jesus and the forgiveness that he has for you. I know sometimes you have those dreams, right, where you think that you're going to die. And you're so scared and you're so nervous. And you wake up and you're extremely relieved to find out that this was just a dream, right? I remember it was about like a year ago. I had one of these dreams that I thought I was going to die. But I wasn't all that nervous. And I woke up and I was relieved somewhat, obviously, to find out that I wasn't dying. But I wasn't like overwhelmingly relieved, like kiss the ground, like, you know, like hug your family and like, oh, I'm so glad. And I was talking to Lacey about it. I was kind of processing the dream that morning. I said, you know why I think it is? I think it's because I feel as though I'm ready to meet God. Like, it's not that I don't have sin or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Lacey will tell you. But what it is that I knew that I had a friend in Jesus. And I had this overwhelming feeling that if I was to go and meet God, that I wouldn't have a leg to stand on, but Jesus would be there and he'd say, you know, he's a friend of mine. Yeah, I know him. It's okay. He's one of mine. You know, he'd be like an advocate for me, right? That's how I felt. And if this is how you feel, if you have a friend in Jesus, then times like Christmas or any time that you think about the fact that he's going to come again and has come, then it fills you with a sense of joy and hopefulness, right? Because you know what's coming. If this isn't you, if you don't have that sense of joy, then I would so encourage you to run to Jesus, to find a friend in him, because there's only forgiveness, there's only acceptance, there's only love, and he only comes to bring you joy, my friends. That is all you will get in Jesus. But there's also a third reason why those who are following Jesus have reason to be joyful at Christmas. Not only did Jesus come and is coming again, but we have joy because we know that he is now with us. He didn't leave us alone. He lives in us now. Therefore, the third and the last reason is that Jesus is dwelling with us right now through his Holy Spirit. Jesus says in the scriptures, in John chapter 14, he said, I will talk to the Father, and he will provide for you another friend, so that you will always have someone with you. The friend is the Spirit of truth. The godless world can't take him in, because it doesn't have eyes to see him, doesn't know what to look for. But you know him already, because he's been staying with you and will even be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming back. My friends, our joy, it's not going to be complete until he comes again. But until then, in the meantime, you know what? He hasn't left us alone. He's left us with someone, a comforter, a friend. Someone like him who can give us joy even now, even if it's just a taste of the joy that's to come. It's enough for me. It's enough for me when I receive it, because he's the Spirit of joy, and joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. I think this truth is illustrated quite beautifully in the story of Stella Thornhope. It's a true story, and Stella Thornhope, she knew that this particular year, this particular Christmas, she was going to be alone. It wasn't easy for her because her husband had died of cancer just a few months before. She felt this overwhelming sense of sadness and grief and sorrow. She didn't even bother to set up her decorations that year. Then, just around Christmas time, late that afternoon, the doorbell rang, and it was a delivery boy. He had a box, and he asked her to sign for the package. After she did, she asked, "What's in the box?" The young man opened the box, and inside was a little puppy, a golden Labrador retriever. The delivery boy picked up the squirming pup, and he said, "This is for you, ma'am. He's 6 weeks old, and he's completely housebroken." "Who sent this?" Stella asked. The young man set the animal down and he handed her an envelope and he said, "It's all explained in here. The dog was bought last July while its mother was still pregnant and it was meant to be a Christmas gift to you." The young man handed her a book, "How to Care for Your Labrador Retriever." She asked again, "Who sent this puppy?" And as the young man turned to leave, he said, "Your husband did, ma'am. Merry Christmas." She opened the letter from her husband, and he had written it just 3 weeks before he died, and he left it with the kennel owners in order to be delivered with the puppy. Her husband admonished her in this letter to stay strong. He said he was waiting for the day that she would join him, and he had sent her this young animal to keep her company until then. She picked up the golden fluffy fur ball, and she held it to her neck, and she looked out the window, and she saw the lights in the neighbor's yard. And suddenly she became overwhelmed with a sense of peace and joy. And it was a joy that eclipsed all the sadness and the sorrow that she had been feeling up to that point. And she looked at the puppy and she says, "You know what, little guy? There's a box downstairs and it's got a little tree in it. And it's got some decorations. And there's some lights down there too. And I think they'll really impress you. And I think there's a manger scene too. Why don't we go down and get it?" My friends, one day we're going to be united again with the Lord. That's going to be a glorious time. I can't wait for that day. But until then, it's great to know that He hasn't left us as orphans. He still wants us to have joy, even in this very moment. And so He sent us someone else, a comforter, the Holy Spirit, to be with us until the end, and to give us joy in the meantime. So those who follow Jesus, we got reasons. My friends, we got reasons to be joyful this season. He came, He's coming again, and He still, right now, even in this very moment where you sit, He still lives in you, and He brings you joy. So ask yourself, I can hear some joy coming up the stairs right now. But just as I close, I want to ask you, how can you spread the joy this Christmas? Because that's the nature of joy, right? Is that it's contagious, it spreads. That's why they say a smile is contagious. I know, because April's so full of joy, my little April joy, and when I take her out into public, sometimes I'll just look up at the people's faces, and almost always I'll see somebody smiling or laughing, looking at her. Because they just see this joy just bursting forth from her. I know she didn't have that joy this morning, but she was making a statement because we wouldn't let her open the presents, and so she was, she's got a lot of emotion, right? She's got a big heart. But joy is contagious, and so I want to ask you, how can you spread the joy this Christmas? Because the nature of joy is that you should spread it. If you have joy in Jesus, you should spread it. And so what is that? You know, is it a smile to someone who needs it? I know someone said to me just the other day they bought a Christmas hamper for a family this Christmas, and they just loved to see the joy that it brought to their faces. I remember receiving a Christmas hamper one season, and the joy it brought to my heart. But is it shoveling a neighbor's sidewalk? Is it a kind and generous word to someone who you know? Or just a kind word to the store clerk who's helping you at the checkout? What is it? What is it you can do to spread the joy? We share our joy and we spread it to others. And when we do that, the most amazing thing happens is that it gives evidence to the one who brings us joy, who lives in us. It points to the one, Jesus. And I think people want to follow a God who brings them joy, because everyone wants joy. But if you're not joyful, my friends, they're not going to want anything to do with the God you follow. Our joy not only points to Jesus, but it gives us the right to invite and to say, you know what, because He lives in me and I have all this joy, would you want to experience that as well? Would you want to share in that with me? Would you come to this event I'm having? Would you have a conversation with me? Would you hear my story? Would you tell me your story? Would you come to my church and hear a bit about Jesus and why I have this joy? That's the power of it, my friends. I just want to end with this, because I think this was demonstrated very well in a remark by a man who was known simply as Principal Rainey. Principal Rainey was a joyous man, and one of his students once commented that he was so full of joy that she imagined that he went to heaven every night and came back, because every day he just exuded this magnificent joy. And this is what he said about the joy that Christians have. Joy, he said, is the flag which is flown from the castle of the heart when the king is in residence there. Joy is the flag which is flown from the castle of the heart when the king is in residence there. My friends, joy is a mark of the one who lives in us. Would you spread that joy this Christmas? We're just going to watch now a short video, I believe, and then about spreading the joy, and then the children are going to come up and lead us in another song.